20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all your Pack-A-Day updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And remember, you can always subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And of course, you can check us out over at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm Kyle Fellows, and I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Andrew Mertig. Andrew, it's Friday, and so we're excited to be back. It's another show. How you doing?
Yeah, really good. It's great to be back. It's fun to have another weekend of football with no pressure on the Green Bay Packers. It's a stress-free watching environment, and I think there's a lot of really, really good games on tap for this weekend, and then hanging into Monday. So that's going to be fun. And then one other thing, kind of riding a high today, right? You and I, Ollie Murray, who always puts together the Packers podcasting rating, throwing us in there at number six, which is beyond generous and kind and probably not that deserving. But this is all we do, right? Like, neither one of us is writing for anybody anymore. Right. So, like, we throw everything we've got into this podcast. So, like, it's nice to be recognized and I think there's so many awesome people doing so many awesome things that maybe number six is too high for us, but we will take any accolades that people want to throw our way. So thanks, yeah. Ollie.
Yeah, we're bracing for the dip the next time the rankings come out, but we're going to ride the high right now. Seriously, I mean, it is, like you said, it's super humbling. So many awesome people on that list, people below us on the list that I respect so much, and people not on the list that, man, I just look up to and love consuming all their Packers content. So
can I take one moment, though? Like, honestly, when I read that list, like, the thought that crossed my mind is, like, Brian Caravu, who was, like, the original – right. Yeah. Like, I mean, maybe Aaron Nagler and Corey Behnke were doing stuff that could be considered podcasting before Brian, but really, like, Railbird Central was the first.
Yep.
And I know both you and I did guest spots on with Brian very early our Packer writing careers, which was, like, pretty cool and pretty influential and made me interested in wanting to get into podcasting. So big shout out to Brian, who doesn't get enough credit as the, pod father, which Andy has so selfishly taken the name of. I'm kidding. Please don't fire me, Andy.
No, you're 100% right. Brian Caravu was gracious enough to have us both on. And was it Byron Bell? Is that the offensive guard that the Packers picked up at one point? Yeah, that was my conversation. So I had a riveting topic to discuss. I even remember it to this day, but a really cool start. And so appreciative for that opportunity. But man, dude, it is cool. It's good to be back here with you talking some football. And what a fun time of the year. What a season we've had. And I can say I've never been so happy to not have Packers football to watch. And the Packers are, once again, that number one seed. They're enjoying that bye week, like you said. We'll have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and they will have a very full and loud Lambeau Field this year that will be a big help as well. That maybe wasn't to the degree that we had last year. So looking forward to that. But Green Bay is now two wins away from the Super Bowl, three wins away from taking home the trophy. And I think we're all feeling pretty good right now, right? The table is set for this team to go on a run here. Aaron Rodgers says that they're going on a run. And I do think that there is a lot of optimism around what this team can accomplish this postseason. And before we get into our show today, I do think we had some news that we wanted to get into. We had something fun pop up today. We've had a lot of these, like, unexpected little nuggets of, we didn't know that was happening, right? And today, Whitney Mercilus, it was announced that this guy, right? So I think there's probably some fans who were like, oh, I kind of forgot he was on the roster, right? Like, this guy came from Houston, made a big impact, and then unfortunately he had some torn biceps November 14th, which is kind of a big deal and not that far away. The dude is out there practicing today, okay? This is a huge, huge deal. No one expected this. Joe Barry said today that he was expecting, Mercilus to try to make this comeback, that Mercilus has been saying since the injury, I'm coming back, guys. Like, I'm going to be there for the postseason. And everyone was like, that's great. That's a good idea. But, that's a really big recovery that quickly. But it looks like He just might do it. And so really cool to see him out there. Obviously, for him to be a part of a team that's going to go on a postseason run coming from Houston is a big opportunity. He wants to be a part of that. But my goodness, what a cool surprise we got today.
Yeah, and what was really impactful, in my opinion, is you take a look at the season that Preston Smith is having, which is obviously really impressive. And then Rashawn Gary has quietly turned into a top, whatever you want to list him as, edge rusher in the NFL. I think top 10 is very fair. He might be even be creeping into that, you know, 6-7 range, and just like a phenomenal season. And now you add to the fact, or you add to the mix, Za'Darius and Whitney Mercilus stepping in there and taking the snaps that normally John Garvin and Tipa would be taking. So like those are big deals, right? Like, we know every opportunity that you can get to set the edge, both, you know, against the run game and then also getting after the quarterbacks that the Packers would be facing potentially coming up in the NFC playoffs. It's a really big deal to have depth at that position, and especially like really, really good veteran depth. So even if they're at 80-85% of what they normally would be able to bring, that's still a marked improvement. And everything that this defense can get to continue to improve, to be more versatile. And then, hey, you know, like if Za'Darius is feeling up to it, you can throw him in that kind of rover role. You can have him run from the rush from the inside. You can move Gary around. You can move Preston around a little bit more with Mercilus on the field. And so, yeah, I mean, a lot to be excited about here.
Yeah, it really is so fun. And on a national level, you know, there's buzz around the Packers as a team that's going to be hard to beat. But there's also buzz around how healthy this team is and how healthy this team is getting. And that's cool. You know, we talk about those things because we're looking for it. But on the national stage, you know, people are saying this is a good team. This is a healthy team. It seems like everything is aligning for the Green Bay Packers this time around. But Andrew, we can't do our normal show today, can we? Can you tell us a little bit about where we're headed? What are we going to do today?
That'd be pretty tough, because if you listen to us normally on Fridays, we talk about key matchups and X factors. Well, obviously, without a game, we don't have a specific matchup preview, but we did want to take a really high-level view of what each matchup could potentially look like, depending on who ends up winning this weekend. So with 7 playoff teams, there are some really weird things that could happen in the NFC, and you know, there would be even more weird things happening if there are multiple upsets, right? It's the NFL. Absolutely anything can happen. And so there's going to be some bizarre things, I think, that end up happening this weekend in the 6 matchups.
Yeah, I think we're all about bizarre things happening this weekend because we're not playing. So, like, the crazy stuff can happen. Totally fine. That would be super entertaining. But we have 4 teams that we're going to look at briefly today. We're looking at the 7-seed Eagles, 6-seed 49ers, 5-seed 49ers. I got a typo here.
That's the Cardinals.
That would be the Cardinals and the 4-seed Rams. Of course, there are 2 playoff teams that we're not going to talk about, but it's not possible for the Packers to match up with them, being the Cowboys or the Bucks in that next divisional round. So we're going to save them for the NFC Championship preview if those teams do last that long. But up first for us today are the 7-seed Eagles. And yeah, it would be a huge upset if these Eagles were able to beat the Tampa Bay Bucks, right? It would be amazing, but it would be an upset. If they were able to do it and punch their ticket straight to Lambeau Field, that's exactly where they'd be headed, because they're the 7-seed. So, you know, the Pack is going to play the lowest seed remaining as the 7. Obviously, you get the Eagles. But the Eagles are a super intriguing team. This is a team that started the year with many people assuming that they would be embracing a rebuild. People kind of viewed Jalen Hurts as kind of that bridge quarterback, maybe with a limited ceiling. He could do some things for you, but maybe wasn't the future there. But he's done so much to carry this team at times in 2021. And I think a lot of people really doubted Nick Sirianni, thinking that he could be a one-and-done kind of coach there in Philly. But, man, what an accomplishment, really, for this team, right? This team is certainly still rebuilding. That's not changing. But they managed to make the playoffs in the midst of a rebuild, and that is definitely saying something about where this team can go in the future. Obviously, this team has Devonta Smith, Miles Sanders, Dallas Goedert as weapons for Hurts, and that's an incredible group. But what's really impressive to me about this Eagles team is their offensive line that they have up front. They've got three guys. They've got their tackles and their center, Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata. Is that how you say that one?
Yes, remember? I believe so.
And Jason Kelce, who are essentially, they're just elite at their position, according to Pro Football Focus. The guards are playing really well inside along them as well. And they grade out really, really well as a run-blocking unit. So if there's a way for them to get past Tampa, I think they're a really interesting team in a game at Lambeau, because you know that a team coming up to Green Bay in January is going to need to run the ball. And with the offensive line that they have, I do think that they could find enough success there to keep the game close, control the clock a little bit, and not give Rodgers and company a bunch of offensive possessions. Obviously, Hurts mixes in that running game as well. But everybody's written off the Eagles, probably for a good reason. They're probably kind of a year away from being that serious contender, at least. But if things get weird, and we know that they do in the playoffs often, this Eagles O-line is going to be a big reason why they may be able to pull off an upset. And then, of course, if they were able to make their way up to Green Bay, that would be one heck of a matchup to watch with these Packers edge rushers, right, that we've been talking about with the return of Zadarius. Of course, we've got Kenny Clark that would be matching up there with Jason Kelce as well. So lots of fun could happen if the Philadelphia Eagles were able to get to Green Bay.
Yeah, and that was really well stated, how the Eagles would match up with the Packers potentially. But for people that are writing off Philly against Tampa, one thing to really watch out for, the Tampa forecast is calling for rain and very blustery conditions, like very windy. So that's something that could work in the Eagles' favor as the team that wants to ground and pound, like you talked about, and turn this into a slugfest. I think that does become a potential way for Philly to pull the upset. And so when I was thinking about this, one thing that I flashed back to was there was a 7-9 Seahawks team that made the playoffs once upon a time. And you may remember, I believe that was Russell Wilson's rookie year, right? So they got this undersized, really mobile quarterback who was moving the chains with his legs a lot. They have Marshawn Lynch, right? This is the Beastquake Seahawks, right? That's what happened. They beat the Saints with the Beastquake run. And that was a team that wasn't supposed to beat anybody. Now, the comparison sort of stopped there in that the Eagles defense is not particularly good. Yeah. And they haven't beat I don't think they've beaten a winning team all year. That might be wrong. I know for sure they've beaten no playoff teams. So, okay, I may have to take that back. But their record against winning teams is atrocious. So there is a path to victory here, and I think the weather could potentially play into that. I agree with a lot of what I've been hearing in that the Eagles aren't a particularly great team, but any given Sunday, and this is a Tampa team that, like, quite frankly, is not the same as last year. They're dealing with a lot of injuries. And the offense just isn't as explosive as it typically has been.
Absolutely. And I do think that that's important to keep in mind, that this people fear this Bucs team. And I mean, they have a lot of things going for them. Obviously, Brady's going to keep any team in a game and those kinds of things. But this is a very different team. This is a team affected by locker room issues as of late, lots of injuries. So anything could happen. And man, you bring up Beastquake, right? And just fun to think back to Lynch breaking that run and what a game that was. And nothing would make me happier than to see a running back absolutely run over the Bucs defense. That would be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So now we're going to flip over to the sixth seed, the San Francisco 49ers, who have been really electric, especially towards the end of the season. Debo Samuel gets so much of the attention on offense, but Jimmy Garoppolo looked really great on Sunday, even with a thumb that barely works on his throwing hand. You know, of course, the 49ers will be relying on the run, and that's going to be a tough road against a really stout Cowboys defense. But the San Francisco defense has been really good, too. Nick Bosa and that defensive line gives any offense headaches. And then you add in Fred Warner and a really athletic linebacker core that takes away a lot of the cheap stuff to running backs and tight ends. You have to beat this team on the outside, and they don't give you a lot of time to do that. But they do face a Dallas team that has those weapons on the outside, even without Michael Gallup. And they could, you know, really follow that recipe to success to pull, like, tearing apart the 49ers defense. To me, this matchup is pretty fascinating, right? Because I think they have kind of some complementary strengths and some complementary weaknesses. And so it could end up being a real slugfest of a game. I know a lot of people are worried about San Francisco being the matchup for Green Bay, but they've been wildly inconsistent all year. And it would really come down to stopping the run. I am not afraid of Jimmy G repeating what he did in LA last week and just dropping back and tearing apart the Packers secondary, because it's going to be at Lambeau. It's going to be cold. They're going to be dealing with a much better... Okay, I almost just said a much better secondary. Is that insulting to the Rams, Kyle? Okay. You're mute. You're either muted or very quiet.
I was mulling the comment. I think you can say that this is a
better Packers secondary. Have a better secondary than the Rams. I'm already going to say it. Okay.
I like it. I like it.
The Packers safety is better. I think with Jair, you negate the difference between Ramsey and everybody else. And I think all the other pieces on the Packers secondary are better. So anyways, again, getting back to my point. For the 49ers, Jimmy G is not going to step back and tear you apart. The 49ers would have to run the ball. And I know we all have some traumatic stress from what we saw in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago, but this is a different defense. It's a different scheme, different players. They play with a little bit different energy, a little bit different toughness, a little bit different mindset, and I really don't think we would see a repeat of that. So, you know what? 49ers don't scare me that much. That being said, I am very much looking forward to the 49ers-Cowboys matchup.
You raised some interesting points there, and I'm sorry I didn't quickly just affirm your point there about the secondary. I actually wanted to give some thought to that, but I know you just wanted me to tell you that you were correct, so I apologize.
I did, yes.
I'll get back on track and knowing my role. But, hey, so here's the thing. I think you're absolutely right, and we talked about this off-air maybe last week, just that, like, there are teams that fans don't want to play. There's, like, a fear of those teams, and some of it's, like, you know, PTSD from years past and those things that we've experienced with the Bucks, right? And then the 49ers is that other team that, man, some things, painful things have happened. But I think you're 100% right that there's, you said this, and I love this, that there would be nothing more satisfying than just having to face off with those teams that you want to beat so badly. And so if the path to the Packers Super Bowl is through the 49ers, it is through the Bucks, then so be it. I mean, I think that would be a very satisfying way to get there. And I think you're right. I think the San Francisco game would allow the Packers to really know what the game plan was going into that, knowing that stopping the run was absolutely essential. And you could kind of build a pretty specific game plan that accomplishes that. So I don't hate the 49ers coming to Green Bay. But let's talk about another scenario here. The 5-seed Cardinals.
Yeah, so I mentioned before the 49ers were inconsistent. Well, they don't hold a candle to the Arizona Cardinals. After their torrid start, they really cooled down in the middle of the season following that Packers loss. Then they finished. Seahawks win, Bears win, Rams loss, got blown out by the Lions, lost to the Colts, beat the Cowboys, and then lost to the Seahawks. Like, that is some crazy ups and downs. I don't know how to process half those games. The Cardinals can absolutely beat the Rams. In fact, they did so 37-20 in early October. But playing in LA should not scare anyone, as it should be about 50% road fans anyways. So I think if Kyler can extend plays with his feet and avoid having Aaron Donald in his lap the entire game, they will have a puncher's chance at the end. The Cards defense would need to take advantage of the two or three gifts Matthew Stafford is going to provide to them during the course of the game. But I actually do think this game could be the best game of the weekend and even outshine that Cowboys 49ers matchup.
Yeah, you mentioned the Matthew Stafford gifts that he's been giving out. And it's so crazy because, I mean, midseason, he was leading the charge for MVP, right? And it just seems like he has not, you know, talk about teams have to get hot at the right time. And it just feels like Matthew Stafford maybe not playing his best football headed in to the postseason for the Rams and those kinds of things. But we'll be interesting to see how that goes and if Stafford can return to his form there for this postseason that he really has, you know, been looking towards his entire career, now has that shot with the Rams. But I don't know if there was a scarier team early in the year, right? They really seemed to have taken that step to being a team that really was ready to compete. I'm talking about the Cardinals, of course. But now they're almost a team that I kind of want to face, Andrew, in this divisional round because of how inconsistent they've been. Kyler is Kyler, though, right? And that's a factor that's really hard to dismiss. He's a big reason why it's reasonable to believe in the Cards against this Rams team and on the road. And I think that that's just a factor you can't dismiss at all. But let's talk about those Rams because they are the four seed. And obviously, they've got to get by Arizona. But if they do, this potential Packers-Rams divisional matchup next week is the one that I think that TV has got to want, right? Of course, the Rams are a good football team. But they were also kind of anointed that team during the offseason that everybody thought was going to take that step forward. They made the Matt Stafford trade, and so he was going to be the one to put them over the hump. And then, of course, the Rams were the winners of the sweepstakes for Odell. But then they've got the big names. They've got Kupp. They've got Aaron Donald. They've got Jalen Ramsey. And then, of course, if we got this matchup, we'd have to hear about McVay, LaFleur, and that connection about 500 times during the broadcast. But in all of this, this would be an incredible game, right? Lots of incredible players, great coaches. But honestly, this is one game that would make me thankful for that home field advantage, that home crowd, that cold weather, because I do believe that this LA team is one that would be affected maybe the most by all of those factors, again, if we met them in the divisional round. But other than that factor, one area that I think the Packers could exploit if the Rams traveled to Green Bay would be the Rams linebackers in the middle of the field. If you look at this roster, Troy Reader and Ernest Jones have struggled this year at linebacker, and so I think Matt LaFleur would have some fun having all the lead-up time to this game to get creative and try to exploit that. I think that could mean opportunities for Aaron Jones in the passing game. I think it could mean some jet sweeps, lots of pre-snap motions. And if he's healthy enough to play, I think this could be a game where Cobb makes a big impression if he's able to get back. So I think we know Jalen Ramsey versus Davante Adams is going to be the marquee matchup. That's where everybody's going to look. But I think the middle of the field has some vulnerability for this Rams team that I would be pretty excited about if the Packers got this matchup.
Yeah, I really like the idea of getting this team off of a fast track and into a very cold Lambeau Field. But what makes me a little nervous, you have Sony Michel and then the return of Cam Akers. If they're able to get that running game established and then have to worry about Cooper Kupp and a maybe slightly rusty Jair trying to cover him, that could be a little scary. And there is always the Aaron Donald destroying your entire offense effect. I'm not scared of the Rams, not by any means, but I just prefer the Cardinals take care of them on Monday, and then we don't even need to worry about it.
I would be just fine with that as well. So you want to talk about, like, we kind of played a little bit with how we would like to face with these guys, which teams we would rather match up with in that divisional round. You want to talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, I think the order that I would go in, as in like the preferred opponent, I would say the Eagles probably number one, the Cardinals, the 49ers, and then the Rams. The one thing to note, all of those teams are warm weather except the Eagles. So yeah. That's an interesting dynamic. I don't think cold necessarily plays as big a role as it is led to, or like we're led to believe, or maybe as much as we put into it as fans. But it certainly does play a role. Traveling, you know, all of these teams are going to get more beat up than they already are this weekend.
Yeah, yep.
And so that plays an effect too. But yeah, I would say my order, Eagles, Cardinals, 49ers, Rams.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm tempted to want the Cardinals over the Eagles, just to, I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I do think that there are more holes in the Eagles roster than the Cardinals in general. Darius Slay, right, as good as he is for the Eagles, he's never been able to handle Davante Adams, right? So even some of their best players, I think, are plus matchups for the Packers. So I'd probably still go Eagles as the matchup I'd prefer, and then maybe it's dumb because we've played in plenty of those close games lately, but I think this team is ready to show up in a way that they haven't maybe in the past to finish. And so none of these matchups really scare me or make me super nervous. I'm with you that there's a little bit more optimism maybe headed into this offseason than maybe we even had last year.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, I'm totally with you. None of these teams scare me. I don't think there's a single team in the NFL that scares the Green Bay Packers, or they'd be nervous about playing at all. And you can say that in sort of a theoretical sense, but I really don't think the Packers feel intimidated by any team that's going to come into Lambeau. That being said, this whole like, oh, you need to go through the Buccaneers because they beat you last year. You need to beat the 49ers or Rams or whatever for X, Y, and Z reason. No, you don't. Listen, you don't need to slay the dragon in order to collect the treasure, right? Like you win the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter if you play the 7 seed, the 6 seed, and then the 7 seed in the AFC. Like, it counts the same. I was never a big advocate for the people who said, oh, I really wish the Packers could have played the Cowboys in 96 to finally put that behind them. Like, why? they don't need to.
Yeah.
The Cowboys lost to the Panthers. Who cares? Move on. And so I feel the same way about this. I mean, if it kind of lessens the path or the amount of resistance on the path, I'm okay with it too. But again, at the end of the day, the Packers have to beat the team that's in front of them. So, I'll root for some upsets.
I'm fine with some upsets. That'd make for a really fun weekend. I think the other thing is you have to remember how different teams are from year to year. Like, to us, the logo stays the same. So the 49ers are the 49ers. But the team that the Packers lost to, that were the 49ers, is a totally different team than the 49ers team that would come to Green Bay this year. So you got to move on a little bit knowing how much teams change. And this is the 2021 season. 22 Super Bowl, that this would be a totally different year, totally different scenario. You can't compare those things, and it does not lessen the accomplishment if they're able to do it by beating some of these lower seeds. We'd be totally fine with that. We spent a little bit of time talking about how we would kind of envision these teams coming to Green Bay if the divisional round becomes a reality for them. But we get to watch some football, right, this weekend as well. So let's talk about some key matchups. This is our thing. Just some brief key matchups that maybe we'll have our eye on in each of these NFC games.
Yeah, I got the Eagles at Buccaneers, and I really think that the matchup I'm watching for is Darius Slay versus Mike Evans. I think the Eagles' defense overall pretty bad, as I've said. I think there's some holes there, but Slay can still play, and the Bucs are down a bunch of playmakers, as we know. I think with the potential bad weather, they are going to play much more conservatively, but Brady is going to have to get some big plays to Evans and Gronk in this one. If Mike Evans wins enough to open up 2 throwing targets, the Bucs probably just roll in this one. If Slay can slow down Evans, they can throw a lot of resources at Gronk, and I think actually that gives the Eagles a chance to slow down the Buccaneers, which then gives Philly a chance to get their run game and offense working, grind this one into the kind of matchup that they want it to be, and then potentially pull off the upset.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And it'll be interesting, obviously, as the targets dwindle for Tom Brady, where he forces the ball potentially, because he does like those big end zone targets. He's got them in Gronk and Evans. But, man, like, they're kind of dwindling down to just those guys. And so it'll be interesting to see if he diversifies, the passes to his other targets, you know, or if he sticks with those guys, and maybe some opportunities for someone like Darius Slay to make a play. With still Mike Evans, I think, is probably still nursing a little bit of a hamstring injury coming back from that. May not be 100%. So I like that call a lot. I've got 49ers at Cowboys, and I think Micah Parsons versus Deebo Samuel, which is kind of an out-of-the-box matchup, I think, is going to be really interesting to watch. Obviously, the Cowboys aren't going to try to leave Parsons in coverage on Samuel when he lines up at receiver, but as much as Samuel has been acting as a running back or offensive weapon or however you want to think about it, these two are going to be on a collision course in this game. Deebo often is tasked with getting the ball in his hand and running east and west before trying to get upfield, and we've seen just how good Micah Parsons has been ranging sideline to sideline. And if the Cowboys are going to contain Deebo, Parsons is going to be a big part of that, I think. And so I'm excited to watch these two dynamic athletes really go at it in this battle between these teams.
That's a really fun one. So I get the Monday night matchup, Cardinals at Rams. My key matchup is Aaron Donald. That's it. There's no matchup. No one matches up with Aaron Donald, Kyle. if the Cards figure out a way to slow 99 down, they have a real chance in this game. If he is putting pressure on Kyler's face and he has to do that 20-yard backwards scramble thing he does to throw off his back foot, I think this is a Rams victory. Yeah. Kyler needs to have a relatively clean pocket to see his receivers, right? Short quarterback needs to be able to see over the top and see through those passing lanes from his offensive line. And that also would provide him with some rush lanes to escape that tenacious Rams pass rush. So I think whatever resources they need to commit to slowing down Aaron Donald, they need to do, and then just really pray that, you know, Von Miller and Leonard Floyd and all the other rushers that the Rams have aren't going to wreak havoc in their one-on-one matchups. So those are our key matchups for this week's NFC playoff, the wild card round. But one thing that I just wanted to throw out there, Kyle, just so we can be embarrassed later on, is making our own Super Bowl predictions. So which of the seven teams from the NFC and which of the seven teams from the AFC do we think is going to advance? And I'm going to go first because I have a real fear that you're going to steal the choice that I was going to make. And so my Super Bowl prediction is going to be the Green Bay Packers versus the Buffalo Bills.
All right.
I really think the Bills are a fun team in the AFC. They certainly had their struggles this season. Consistency wasn't really a great thing for them. But I think they're going to have a slugfest against New England this weekend. But that's really going to get the monkey off their back. That 20-year-old monkey that just will not leave them alone in the Patriots. And I think that's going to propel them forward. I think the way their defense has been playing at times, and the potential of what their offense can be, I think, could really carry them forward. And you just let Josh Allen do Josh Allen things. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but sometimes it's genius. And I think this is a team that has a really, really good shot in the AFC. And, hey, Kyle, by the way, if the Packers and the Bills face off, we did talk in the preseason to Joe Marino about having him back on the podcast. So, I mean, he said he would do it for the Super Bowl. So
he did. And so this is news to you, Andrew. I haven't talked to you about this yesterday, but I jumped on a Instagram live yesterday with Joe Marino. He's doing some giveaways and stuff. And I was just being stupid. And I got in his chat and I said, hey, you come on Pack a Day podcast if we get a Bills Packers Super Bowl. And he said, yeah, for sure. I'd definitely do that with you guys. So
yes,
we have confirmed.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, if we get a Bills Packers Super Bowl, we get Joe Marino. It'll be a lot of fun. We always love having him. But my prediction here, I like yours a lot. I think that that's very, very realistic. I will not pick against the Green Bay Packers. That will not happen. But if I was going to change things up for the AFC, I think I might go crazy and I might pick the Cincinnati Bengals. And I know.
Oh, I love it.
Right? So there's a couple factors here. And first, I think they're a hot team. And I think they're hot at the right time. And I think the AFC is a little soft. And so I think you look at this bracket that they've got to go through. They get the Raiders first, right? And no one is really scared of that, right? And so I think you get that offense against the Raiders. I think you get a W. And it doesn't seem like these lower seeds in the AFC are going to win. I don't think that the Patriots are going to win. I don't think the Steelers are going to win. And so it would look like then if you're the 4-seed Bengals, you probably match up with the 1-seed Titans. And I don't really think that that's a game that you can't win either. So I think that they get to the AFC championship game pretty easily. I do think that you could stumble there against your Chiefs or your Bills. But, I mean, weirder things have happened. And once you get to the AFC championship game, anything's possible. And we could get a little bit of a Joe Brady. I said Joe Brady. I said Joe Burrow. A little bit of magic there from him in the playoffs here, and I think we could have some fun with that. So I'll say Bengals, Packers, and then you get your Packers Super Bowl win.
Yeah, I really like that. I mean, if the Bengals offensive line can figure anything out in pass blocking, I mean, they've been pretty solid in run blocking, but their pass blocking is atrocious.
Yeah.
If they can figure out something with the weapons that they have, and their defense is pretty opportunistic. I don't think it's a finished unit yet. Like, they're still in a rebuilding phase, but man, they could be a real scary matchup for a lot of teams in the AFC. So I like that too. But that is all the time that we have for today. This has been the Pack a Day podcast. You can find Kyle on Twitter @Packer_pundit. And you can find me @Andrew Mertig. Please subscribe and consider giving us a 5-star review if you like what we're doing. You catch Kyle and myself every single Friday. We'll be back next week with key matchups and X factors for the Packers divisional round game. Thanks for listening. And as always, remember. Go, hey, go!